with live expert money and real estate advice every Sunday. Elise Twink is on 95.5 FM and AM 750. News Talk WSB.
Good morning, everybody, or shall I say good afternoon. Welcome back to the Elise Twink Show. Hope you enjoyed your extra hour of sleep. I know I did. Wow. Usually when we have a time change, I find that I'm waking up at all hours in the night, very strangely, and last night, just a solid 8 hours. Brain felt refreshed. All excited to come back and talk to you this morning. Our number, 404-872-0750, the Elise Glink Show, where we are rebuilding America one house at a time. Starting, of course, with yours, here on News Talk WSB, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, online, thinklink.com. Don't forget to sign up for my Twitter feed at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. All kinds of interesting stuff. I'm going to push out later a little bit of a really cool thing from University of Norwegian University. I think that's the name of it. Working with the NIH to establish your health fitness age. So, all very interesting. I wanted to start this afternoon, I was going to say this morning again, I wanted to start this afternoon with a letter that I got this week. Actually, yesterday, from one of our listeners. And I wanted to thank her for sending this letter simply because it illustrates for me how people just don't understand what's going on with the Affordable Care Act. And I want to read this letter to you, and I'm going to answer this woman as well individually, but I think there are some really good lessons here. So last week, as you may remember, I talked about how it looked like Sam and I were going to be able to save like thousands of dollars in health insurance costs. And, you know, we think that this is going to be a very good thing for us and for probably anybody over the age of 35. I also think having a whole office full, like 10 full-time employees, and most of them are under the age, are 31 or younger. They're all 31 or younger except for one. And they also are clamoring to get health insurance. The ones who are under 26 are still on their parents' insurance, but the ones who are between 26 and 31 are very, very nervous about anything that could go wrong. And it's really interesting. They all have something, right? Everybody, nobody has perfect health. We just think we do. Anyway, this woman wrote to me and she said, I have waited for some time to comment on this subject after hearing you speak of it on your Sunday morning radio show. With the resources available to you, I am appalled that you would take advantage of this website, she means healthcare.gov, to obtain insurance for your family. Even if your insurance before cost you $30,000 a year, your family can well afford it. Using the ACA to lower your own costs simply puts the burden on others that may or may not be able to afford increased cost of their own care. Just because something is available, it may not be a prudent decision to take advantage of it. Would you go to a food pantry if you could? A soup line for lunch? Shame on you. I am sorry, Sam, that's my husband, has a pre-existing condition, but you have been blessed with the ability to cover the costs yourselves. Sponging off the rest of the citizens just because you can is wrong. Sincerely yours. Enjoy your program otherwise. Like I said, I wanted to say thank you for sending that letter because it illustrates to me just the complete lack of understanding some people have about the Affordable Care Act and what is really going on with insurance. So you may have heard this week that there are millions of people who are supposedly getting canceled or who are getting cancellation letters, and they thought they'd be able to keep the insurance that they wanted. Sam and I got a letter like that, and it said, your insurance policy no longer meets the Affordable Care Act minimums that are now law in this country. And as such, you are grandfathered in, you can keep this plan, but the minute you stop, it's gone. It's going to disappear. In fact, when we called up a couple of months ago to talk to our insurance company about other options, they were like, your plan is so old, because we've had the same plan since 1998, that we don't even have it in our records anymore. We have to go to this other website where they still have information on it to answer your question about it. The letter that I got from this listener troubles me in so many ways. First of all, it's not like I'm sponging off America. We have an insurance company, a private insurance company that we are trying to buy insurance from. Going through healthcare.gov, which, by the way, we can't do because the website's broken. It was even down for like 6 hours in the middle of the night, where they got an extra hour to try and fix it, right? Going to healthcare.gov, or really our own state's website, and really, we didn't even do that. We just went straight to the different individual insurers' websites, which is what I told you to do last week if you were interested in figuring out what your options were going to be in any sort of real way. Is the way that you have to buy insurance right now. It's not like going to a soup line and sponging off Citizens. I'm buying it from a private insurance company that, frankly, whatever their profit level is, they're making billions of dollars a year. The fact that I have been overpaying for health insurance based on a ridiculous set of formulas is insane. This is like saying, don't go to Expedia.com to learn what the cheapest airfare is, because somebody else might get a worse deal because you go there. Not true. Everybody who goes to Expedia gets the same deal. It's just a more efficient marketplace. It's a little also like saying you and Clark shouldn't go to Costco or Sam's Club to save money because you can afford to pay full retail. Like, go buy your groceries at Neiman Marcus. Really? I thought one of the great things about this country is our ability to actually go and get good deals for our family and save money. One of the reasons that I'm in the position to be able to afford health insurance and not get a subsidy. By the way, I do not qualify for a subsidy. Subsidies are for people who earn at a maximum about $94,000 a year. So I pay whatever the full freight is. And so does anybody else who earns a significant amount of money. We all pay the full freight. There is no deal. There's no sponging off. And it's certainly not going like going to a food pantry. So I hope that you will understand that nothing that I do or Clark does or Neil Bortz or anybody else, if they have to buy their own health insurance, nothing that we do affects anybody else. All it does is it puts us into a larger pool that's a little bit more fair to anybody. I'm going to say this again, anybody over the age of probably 35 or 40. That's it. That's all that it does. It's changing the way that the pool structure works. And frankly, I could pay a lot less, but I want to use the doctor I want to use. And he's only available in, like, the most expensive plan that they offer, which is fine. And now I'm going to have a really big deductible, which is fine. All of those choices are choices I'm happy to have, because before I had no choice. And now I have choices, which is a big, huge improvement. But I'm certainly not going to a food pantry and taking food from people who can't afford to buy it. And that is the misconception that is out there about the Affordable Care Act. No wonder people don't like it. It's completely not true. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Keep the letters coming, folks. I'm happy to read them and respond to all of you. 15 minutes past the hour, Chris joins me on the line. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, living the dream.
Awesome. Love to hear it. What's going on today?
I found myself on the wrong end of I was served divorce papers yesterday.
Oh, no.
And
I'm
the papers
so sorry.
Are very vague in regards to, there are two pieces of real estate that my soon-to-be ex and I own. One of them is a home that we're actually probably upside down in. Not a tremendous amount, but she's wanting me to sign the divorce papers, and the divorce decree or whatever she gave me yesterday, the papers, are very vague about, the assets will be divided equitably. The debt will be divided equitably. And was wondering if it would be smart to sign that divorce paper now or wait until we get this house dealt with.
Okay. I'm just going to say this right now. Don't sign anything.
Okay.
Do not sign anything, because you're not a lawyer. She's obviously had legal counsel. And even if you were a lawyer, you are so emotionally connected to this moment. And I can hear in your voice how troubled and scary this all is for you.
That yeah,
You don't know anything yet.
That and the fact that when we bought this stuff, her credit was less than admirable, and all of the debt that we have is in my name. She's on everything, but I'm the only one on the mortgages.
You need... Were you expecting this?
For about the last couple of months, I've kind of sensed it was coming, yeah.
Yeah, but still. But still, it's not quite the same, right?
No, it's not, not the way I'd have it done, that's for sure. Obviously, it's not my choice, but... Yeah, regardless, I'm stuck in this situation, and I mean, literally, I guess she could just walk and leave me with it anyway.
She could walk, but you'd be able to find her. I think that the two of you need to have a conversation with probably your attorneys present, or your attorneys need to start talking. You need to find an attorney if you don't already have one. And you need to get some really solid legal counsel before you sign anything. Once you sign legal papers, it's assumed you've had legal counsel and you've read them. And I don't think, even if you could read them with a straight mind today, you're just not in any sort of place to emotionally to take in what it all means and understand the implications. And really, with divorce, there are so many layers of implication that really you want to give yourself some time to breathe. So the first thing is to find somebody good who can help explain to you what the legal ramifications are, what it means, and how you need to move forward in this. And that's your first order of business. And I suggest you do that tomorrow. Today, be kind to yourself. Go do something that makes you feel good.
Yeah.
And spend some time in this beautiful day reflecting about your life and where you want to go. And tomorrow, go find a lawyer. And by the end of the week, hopefully you're going to be in a much better position to actually think about what you want to do next. And then I want you to call me back and let me know what happens, because wherever you wind up, it's going to be in a very different place from where you are right now this weekend. And I want you to be in the strongest mental place possible to deal with everything that's going to come down the pike. Because if it starts this ugly, it's just going to get worse. Chris, let me know how you're doing next week, okay? 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glink, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, on News Talk WSB.
Expert money advice you can depend on anytime at ClarkHoward.com and midday every Sunday with Elise Glink on 95.5 FM and AM 750. News Talk WSB.
25 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show. Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours. Our number, 404-872-0750, 1-800 WSB Talk at Glink, at GLINK. Homer joins me on the line from Ackworth. Hi, Homer.
Yeah, so I was wanted to make two comments. One of them was on the billions of dollars that you said that the insurance companies made. You made it sound like that's a bad thing for people to make profit.
No, I think it's a good thing,
listen to your comment. If you look at an insurance company's return on investment, it's not the terrible thing that you make it sound like. That's number one. Number two, the talking point that everybody that's losing their insurance, it's junk insurance. I've got very good insurance, and I'm losing mine. Anyway, give me a comment on those. I'd appreciate it.
Thank you. I'd be happy to. According to Forbes, which is hardly the bastion of democracy in terms of being for the Democratic Party, it's quite the Republican mouthpiece. So far in 2013, the value of the Standard & Poor's Health Insurance Index has gained 43%. That's more than double the gains in the stock market. Shares of Cigna are up 63%. WellPoint is up 47%. United Healthcare is up 28%. And if you go back, you will see that as early as 2010, all of the insurance companies were raising their premiums and have talked about how Obamacare would be great for them. It's absolutely true. If you look at WellPoint, which is owner of a huge number of health insurers, right? It's one of the nation's largest health insurers. This week, it raised the earnings guidance for the third time this year. WellPoint said its improved outlook is due in part to gains directly from the Affordable Care Act. So the idea that somehow insurance companies don't like this, they do like it. And I'm all in favor of insurance companies making money because I believe in the free market. This is not a handout. All it is, and honestly, the insurance companies helped write Obamacare. If they didn't like Obamacare, they would have all fled Massachusetts years ago when this went into play. So I don't think it's a bad thing. It's a good thing. And I think insurance company profits are fine. But the idea that somehow by not getting a deal or not trying to save money, I'm being more of an American is crazy. And that is my point. My point is that it would be like saying, oh, just go pay full freight for an airplane ticket instead of going to Expedia and checking out prices everywhere. That's all I'm doing, is checking out prices and choosing a plan that's best for me. And as for you, Homer, losing your health insurance plan, I'm sorry. You're one of like 2% of people in this country that that's happening to. And I wish it weren't the case. I wish the president hadn't lied about it. Clearly he did. Or if he didn't lie about it, he didn't know what he was saying. But I think there are a lot of people who are going to find that this is a good thing if they just give it a try. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I'm Elise Blank, rebuilding America one house at a time on News Talk WSB.
Find your expert advice anytime at thinkblink.com and find Elise Blank live midday every Sunday on 95.5 FM and AM 750, News Talk WSB.
6 minutes past the hour on the Elise Blink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours on News Talk WSB. The number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, online all the time at thinklink.com. Follow me on Twitter at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. All right, so we've been talking about health insurance, and I read a letter at the start of this hour from one of our listeners who thinks that, for me, buying through the Affordable Care Act, which is the law in this country now, is akin to me going to a food pantry and taking groceries off the shelves, which is inconceivable and incomprehensible to me. Jerry joins me on the line now from Douglasville. Hi, Jerry.
Elise.
Yes.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
But I heard your comments, and I just had to call, even though I was busy working on my car. But, Elise, the insurance companies love the Affordable Care Act.
Yes, they do.
Number one, they can cancel my policy. And then they can turn around and tell me what kind of policy I have to take.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can triple my premium. There ain't a thing I can do about it, because if I don't get insurance, I got to pay a fine.
Your fine is minute compared to everything else.
So I'm going
to
pay the fine.
Minute.
$95.
Mm-hmm.
And so the insurance companies love it. Of course, their doggone stock is going out of sight. It's been going out of sight because they see a big, huge pool of people that they're going to get rich off of.
Jerry, is your insurance being canceled?
Yes.
And what do you pay for your insurance?
$292.
$292 a month?
I got a $1,000 deductible.
Okay, and what is it?
My wife and two kids.
Great, and what does it cover?
It's going to pay a lot. It's going to cost a lot more.
What does it cover, your policy now?
It's a good policy. I've used it before. It takes the doctor's bill. I pay $20 to see the doctor.
You have a copay. Is it an HMO?
It is.
Okay, there are HMOs that are incredibly inexpensive on the policy for
it's
the ACA.
Not no more, because it's been canceled. I don't have it no more.
There are replacement policies. Have
yes,
you looked?
Thank you. And they can tell me what I got to call. My new deductible is $6,900. My new premium is $699. Now tell me who's making the money.
No, I think insurance companies are going to make the money.
And
as I said earlier.
Why do they get the right to tell me what I can do and cannot do?
Because that's what they do. That is what insurance companies
do. They
couldn't
do it before it became a law.
No, they could do it before.
No, they didn't.
Jerry,
I could shop around now. I'll bet this. I wish I could buy the insurance that I could go online and get from out of the state of Georgia. But you couldn't do that then. You had to get insurance companies approved by the state of Georgia. But still, I have a good policy. It's taken care of two babies that have been born.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, I've got a policy that costs me four times as much.
Jerry, it'd be great if you shopped it around, because if you shopped it around, I think you would find a more affordable thing to buy. In addition, you may even find that you're eligible for a subsidy that wipes away a lot of that. I don't know. Guess what? I make too much money. I don't get a subsidy. All I know is that I never paid anywhere close to what you were paying for insurance for my family. I'm paying like $3,000 a month. It's nowhere close to what you're paying. And it covered virtually nothing. So some people, I guess, are going to be winners and some are losers. It's a little like everybody who lives on a coastline right now who's looking at flood insurance that might be 10 times the cost of what it is. Some people are going to be losers, I guess, in this plan. I wish it were not the case, but I don't know of anything in business where everybody's a winner. All I know is that there, for a lot of people out there, there will be a lot of winners, and there will be a lot of people who get to benefit from this, people who thought they had good insurance but didn't. But some people, I guess, are going to be losers. I'm sorry it has to be you. I really am. I wish there was a way for all of us to win. 404-872-0750. John joins me on the line from Cartersville. Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm listening to you and Jerry and your comments before, and you know, based on your own foundation of the way you laid out why you thought that this was going to be a good thing later on, that we'll find out. I mean, the first thing is, you know, based on what the president claimed that was going to happen and all, based on the comments or the promises that he made of the way that Obamacare was going to be, and the fact that just about all that is untrue, it's really hard to believe that all the good things that we think might could happen, or that he claims or they claim are going to happen, you know, is going to going to happen.
Let me just jump in and say, and I'm going to give you a chance to finish your thought. I detest that this president looks like he's lied about this, because it was insane and stupid, frankly. And you shouldn't lie about what the truth is, ever.
Well, that was a political thing. I mean, he was up for election, and he tells, and that's, of course, politics is like that. I'm not just picking him out, and you know.
Every president has lied. Every president has lied. We agree.
And now the thing about that is you know that his whole track record. This is his biggest achievement of his of both elections, and yet it's so flawed, and so many people are affected negatively for the few that might could gain from it. It's a great idea. It's a great concept. Although we had things in place where that a lot of people could get. You know, go to hospitals, even if they didn't have coverage, they're still going to be taken care of. So,
John. Well, all of those people, and I don't know about you, but I'm fed up with that.
Well, we're still paying, and this is going to make us, I think, what you laid out a while ago about the stock and the insurance companies and how they're, you know, that's all great for the people who own stock and insurance companies who are the owners, you know, the people making the money. But that doesn't say a lot for the people that are forced to take something or buy something where they don't have a choice. See, that's not America. That's not the foundation of what America was based on. And the fact that we can be told what we have to do or we'll be fined if we don't do and follow that is not, you know, a democratic way. It's not a way that we're, this country was based on, that we expect. Your comments about this, some people are going to be benefit, some people are going to be hurt about the coastline situation. Everything. Well, those people have a choice. They didn't have to buy property on the coastline. And here again, you know, against your argument that if you don't want to live on a coastline and you want to live somewhere where it's a lot safer up on a hill away from, you know, where storms come in pretty regular, you may not have that problem. You don't have to face the problem of flood.
So, John, that doesn't make any sense, because what's happened over 30 years, people have lived on the coasts of this country for 200 years. People have lived in those houses 20, 30, 40 years. And what's happened is weather is changing, and those the floodplain maps, and this affects many people in Atlanta as well. You're not even near a coastline. But if you look at the flood maps, and I talked about this last week and the week before on this show, the flood maps have all been redrawn across this country, and people who thought they were in high ground and are not now in high ground and have found themselves flooded year in and year out, they're not on the coast. And that's everybody. Everybody is affected by that. And so you look at how people are paying for different kinds of insurance. And the truth is, we all pay for everything in different ways. The flood insurance that people now can't even afford to buy or won't be able to when that actually goes into place, the cry will go up across the country, not just for the 600,000 or 800,000 people who are living right on a coastline. We all pay for health insurance in odd and different ways. And the people who pay more and end up covering people who walk into hospitals because they have nothing, that's what you should be getting angry about. You shouldn't be saying, oh, well, they're going to get covered anyway. They get covered because people, like everybody else, through our own health insurance, whether it's employer-provided, government-provided, individually-provided, that insurance coverage has to pay for everybody who doesn't have insurance, who walks into a hospital, and then for $1,000 gets their throat looked at, a couple of aspirin for $80 a piece, and sent on their way. And that kind of coverage doesn't work anymore. And that's what this was trying to fix. I am not the big apologist for Obamacare. In fact, if you look at my appearances on CNN and CNBC and Fox News, you'll see 2, 3, 4 years ago when this was announced that I was there saying, I think we could see coverage costs skyrocket. And sure enough, that's what we had done. So I've definitely been on the side that everybody else has. But on the other hand, I've also now gone online and taken a look and seen across this country there are a whole lot of people who will benefit. And the people who at the moment look like maybe they're not going to, we have to see how it's all going to play out. I don't think anybody even knows yet because the darn site doesn't even work. The darn site just doesn't work. And when the technology doesn't work, and all you can do is see bits and pieces, all you can do is try and frame it in the mindset of reasonable people have to take a step back and allow something to play out a little bit further. And that is all I am saying, is that I think that a lot of people, if they give it a chance to go on and shop around, will be pleasantly surprised. There will also be people who will be unpleasantly surprised. Small business owners who have maybe 10 or 15 employees who have been covering coverage, they probably won't like what they're going to see, because I think small business owners are going to get hit. There are only 7 million small business owners in this country with less than 50 employees who are covering them under health insurance. 42% of them cover it. So we're talking about 3 million small business owners. Now, given that 95% of American business happens with small business owners, this is not a large number, but it sure sounds large. And if you are one of those people, and I am one of those people, you may see coverage go and prices go in a place that is not palatable. But your option will be to not cover insurance for people. You can just give them a flat amount of money and send them to the individual exchanges. And then your people will get covered the level and the way that they want to get covered. And that's all I'm saying, is that we have to give this a chance to see how it's all going to play out. But I don't believe for a minute that this is the end of this country. Just like in 2007 and 2008, when we talked about the coming housing crisis and people thought this was the end of the country, I didn't think it was the end of the country then. And I said then, and I say now, that if you don't stand and believe that this country is any bigger than one financial sector, whether it's health insurance or housing or industry or anything else, then you don't believe in the future of America. And I believe in the future of America. I call this show Rebuilding America, One House at a Time, because I believe we are greater than the sum of any one thing. Health insurance, politics, housing, whatever it is. This country is greater than that, and we as the people who live and breathe and make this country run, we are greater than any one thing. And that's how I see it. And that's how you should see it. 404-872-0750. John, thank you for your call. 49 minutes past the hour on News Talk WSB. It's 54 minutes past the hour on the Elise Link Show, Rebuilding America One House at a Time, starting with yours on News Talk WSB, 404-872-0750, a lively, shall we say, hour on health insurance. Holly joins me on the line. Hi, Holly.
Hi. You have pushed so many buttons.
I know. Sometimes I have to do that.
The medical situation for years, and I don't think Obamacare is the answer, but, oh, my God, what a great step to save some people who I have known who were falling through the cracks horribly. And as an employer, I couldn't afford the insurance that basically a former employee of mine's wife is dying because they couldn't afford the medical insurance for her. She was a diabetic, and the health care system was a disaster in terms of servicing her. And now we're all going to pay a small fortune to help raise her three small children. So this is false economy if I've ever seen it. But to me, the analogy is this. If I want to go and get an antibiotic, and maybe that's a bad example because there's issues about that. Say I want a skin cream or some skin tags removed from my neck. I don't want to have to go to an MD, and I have a child who's an MD, a dermatologist, as a matter of fact. I don't want to pay the kind of money to go to her to get those removed. I want to go to a nurse practitioner, and I think it's going that way with some of these Mediclinics. But it's like if all our cars, we had to have a PhD or even a bachelor's degree, automotive engineer, to fix our brakes. Because, look, you know, with a doctor, we can only kill ourselves. With our brakes, we could kill hundreds of people. Start a chain reaction on I-85. But nobody's insisting we have to have an automotive engineer fix our brakes, whereas somebody's insisting we have to have a PhD automotive engineer to take off the skin tags in my neck or prescribe my skin cream or get my, oh, God, what's the alternative medicine instead of going to a chiropractor who I...
Acupuncture.
Acupuncture. I had acupuncture on a ship for a shoulder injury that I had treated for 4 months. I didn't believe in it, thought it was a bunch of bull. And, oh, my God, after two treatments, the gal who did it on the ship said, why didn't you come back for the third treatment? And I said to her, you're a victim of your own success. I don't need a third treatment. And she said, well, come in for our general wellness, which I don't think did anything, but, you know, it was a way to... to sit quietly for 30 minutes, but I think there's a third way. I think we need to totally revamp the whole medical system. My daughter always
happening.
Said, keep your views to yourself until I get a medical school, and I have.
Well,
that's all I have to say for now. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Holly, for your call. I think there certainly is a lot of opinion, and it's certainly different. And those of you, we have a full slate of calls. We're almost at the end of this hour and the end of this topic for now. And Twitter has certainly been very active, so you can read what everybody else thinks. Most of them think I'm an idiot, by the way, so just so you know. But there are two sides to every story. There are lots of people who can't get health insurance who need it. This will help. And we pay for every one of them every day. Holly, your point is well made. We pay for them to go to a place where I'd rather they not go, which is an emergency room. We pay for them when they call ambulances and they don't have insurance. There has to be a better way. Maybe this is the start of the better way. I don't know. I will tell you that when Medicare started, there was about as much of an uproar as this, believe it or not. And people were very mistrustful that the government was going to come in and change everything. And, in fact, if you look at every single survey of seniors, they all value Medicare more than anything else. So I don't know how it's all going to end up. We're certainly not in a single-payer system. All we are at is a place where we're trying something different. Some people will win, and some people will certainly lose. And you wish that everybody could be a winner. When we come back, we are going to talk about what happened with mortgage interest rates this week. Fannie Mae is suing eight banks for 800 such a huge number, $800 billion. Talking about real estate, I'm Elise Glink. Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours on News Talk WSB.
It's live, expert money and real estate advice every Sunday. Elise Twink is on 95.5 FM and AM 750, News Talk WSB.
Good morning, everybody, or shall I say good afternoon. Welcome back to the Elise Twink Show. Hope you enjoyed your extra hour of sleep. I know I did. Wow. Usually when we have a time change, I find that I'm waking up at all hours in the night, very strangely, and last night, just a solid 8 hours. Brain felt refreshed. All excited to come back and talk to you this morning. Our number, 404-872-0750, the Elise Glink Show, where we are rebuilding America one house at a time. Starting, of course, with yours, here on News Talk WSB, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, online, thinklink.com. Don't forget to sign up for my Twitter feed at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. All kinds of interesting stuff. I'm going to push out later a little bit of a really cool thing from University of Norwegian University. I think that's the name of it. Working with the NIH to establish your health fitness age. So, all very interesting. I wanted to start this afternoon, I was going to say this morning again. I wanted to start this afternoon with a letter that I got this week. Actually, yesterday, from one of our listeners. And I wanted to thank her for sending this letter simply because it illustrates for me how people just don't understand what's going on with the Affordable Care Act. And I want to read this letter to you, and I'm going to answer this woman as well individually, but I think there are some really good lessons here. So last week, as you may remember, I talked about how it looked like Sam and I were going to be able to save like thousands of dollars in health insurance costs. And, you know, we think that this is going to be a very good thing for us and for probably anybody over the age of 35. I also think having a whole office full, I have 10 full-time employees, and most of them are under the age, are 31 or younger. They're all 31 or younger, except for one. And they also are clamoring to get health insurance. The ones who are under 26 are still on their parents' insurance, but the ones who are between 26 and 31 are very, very nervous about anything that could go wrong. And it's really interesting. They all have something, right? Everybody, nobody has perfect health. We just think we do. Anyway, this woman wrote to me and she said, I have waited for some time to comment on this subject after hearing you speak of it on your Sunday morning radio show. With the resources available to you, I am appalled, that you would take advantage of this website, she means healthcare.gov, to obtain insurance for your family. Even if your insurance before cost you $30,000 a year, your family can well afford it. Using the ACA to lower your own costs simply puts the burden on others that may or may not be able to afford increased cost of their own care. Just because something is available, it may not be a prudent decision to take advantage of it. Would you go to a food pantry if you could? A soup line for lunch? Shame on you. I am sorry, Sam, that's my husband, has a pre-existing condition, but you have been blessed with the ability to cover the costs yourselves. Sponging off the rest of the citizens just because you can is wrong. Sincerely yours. Enjoy your program otherwise. Like I said, I wanted to say thank you for sending that letter because it illustrates to me just the complete lack of understanding some people have about the Affordable Care Act and what is really going on with insurance. So you may have heard this week that there are millions of people who are supposedly getting canceled or who are getting cancellation letters, and they thought they'd be able to keep the insurance that they wanted. Sam and I got a letter like that, and it said, your insurance policy no longer meets the Affordable Care Act minimums that are now law in this country. And as such, you are grandfathered in. You can keep this plan, but the minute you stop, it's gone. It's going to disappear. In fact, when we called up a couple of months ago to talk to our insurance company about other options, they were like, your plan is so old, because we've had the same plan since 1998, that we don't even have it in our records anymore. We have to go to this other website where they still have information on it to answer your question about it. The letter that I got from this listener troubles me in so many ways. First of all, it's not like I'm sponging off America. We have an insurance company, a private insurance company that we are trying to buy insurance from. Going through healthcare.gov, which, by the way, we can't do because the website's broken. It was even down for like 6 hours in the middle of the night, where they got an extra hour to try and fix it, right? Going to healthcare.gov, or really our own state's website, and really, we didn't even do that. We just went straight to the different individual insurers' websites, which is what I told you to do last week if you were interested in figuring out what your options were going to be in any sort of real way, is the way that you have to buy insurance right now. It's not like going to a soup line. And sponging off Citizens, I'm buying it from a private insurance company that, frankly, whatever their profit level is, they're making billions of dollars a year. The fact that I have been overpaying for health insurance based on a, you know, ridiculous set of formulas is insane. This is like saying, don't go to Expedia.com to learn what the cheapest airfare is, because somebody else might get a worse deal because you go there. Not true. Everybody who goes to Expedia gets the same deal. It's just a more efficient marketplace. It's a little also like saying you and Clark shouldn't go to Costco or Sam's Club to save money because you can afford to pay full retail. Like, go buy your groceries at Neiman Marcus. Really? I thought one of the great things about this country is our ability to actually go and get good deals for our family and save money. One of the reasons that I'm in the position to be able to afford health insurance and not get a subsidy. By the way, I do not qualify for a subsidy. Subsidies are for people who earn at a maximum about $94,000 a year. So I pay whatever the full freight is. And so does anybody else who earns a significant amount of money. We all pay the full freight. There is no deal. There's no sponging off. And it's certainly not going like going to a food pantry. So I hope that you will understand that nothing that I do or Clark does or Neil Bortz or anybody else, if they have to buy their own health insurance, nothing that we do affects anybody else. All it does is it puts us into a larger pool that's a little bit more fair to anybody. I'm going to say this again, anybody over the age of probably 35 or 40. That's it. That's all that it does. It's changing the way that the pool structure works. And frankly, I could pay a lot less, but I want to use the doctor I want to use. And he's only available in, like, the most expensive plan that they offer, which is fine. And now I'm going to have a really big deductible, which is fine. All of those choices are choices I'm happy to have, because before I had no choice. And now I have choices, which is a big, huge improvement. But I'm certainly not going to a food pantry and taking food from people who can't afford to buy it. And that is the misconception that is out there about the Affordable Care Act. No wonder people don't like it. It's completely not true. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Keep the letters coming, folks. I'm happy to read them and respond to all of you. 15 minutes past the hour, Chris joins me on the line. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, living the dream.
Awesome. Love to hear it. What's going on today?
Well, I found myself on the wrong end of I was served divorce papers yesterday.
Oh, no.
And
I'm
the papers
so sorry.
Are very vague in regards to, there are two pieces of real estate that my soon-to-be ex and I own. One of them is a home that we're actually probably upside down in. Not a tremendous amount, but she's wanting me to sign the divorce papers, and the divorce decree or whatever she gave me yesterday, the papers, are very vague about, you know, the assets will be divided equitably. The debt will be divided equitably. And was wondering if it would be smart to sign that divorce paper now or wait until we get this house dealt with.
Okay. I'm just going to say this right now. Don't sign anything.
Okay.
Do not sign anything because you're not a lawyer. She's obviously had legal counsel. And even if you were a lawyer, you are so emotionally connected to this moment, and I can hear in your voice how troubled and scary this all is for you, that you don't know anything yet.
That and the fact that when we bought this stuff, her credit was less than admirable, and all of the debt that we have is in my name. She's on everything, but I'm the only one on the mortgages.
You need... Were you expecting this?
For about the last couple of months, I've kind of sensed it was coming, yeah.
Yeah. But still. But still, it's not quite the same, right?
No, it's not, not the way I'd have it done, that's for sure. Obviously, it's not my choice, but again, regardless, I'm stuck in this situation, and I mean, literally, I guess she could just walk and leave me with it anyway.
She could walk, but you'd be able to find her. I think that the two of you need to have a conversation with probably your attorneys present, or your attorneys need to start talking. You need to find an attorney if you don't already have one, and you need to get some really solid legal counsel before you sign anything. Once you sign legal papers, it's assumed you've had legal counsel and you've read them. And I don't think, even if you could read them with a straight mind today, you're just not in any sort of place to emotionally to take in what it all means and understand the implications. And really, with divorce, there are so many layers of implication that really, you want to give yourself some time to breathe. So, the first thing is to find somebody good who can help explain to you what the legal ramifications are, what it means, and how you need to move forward in this. And that's your first order of business. And I suggest you do that tomorrow. Today, be kind to yourself. Go do something that makes you feel good.
Yeah.
And spend some time in this beautiful day reflecting about your life and where you want to go. And tomorrow, go find a lawyer. And by the end of the week, hopefully you're going to be in a much better position to actually think about what you want to do next. And then I want you to call me back and let me know what happens, because wherever you wind up, it's going to be in a very different place from where you are right now this weekend. And I want you to be in the strongest mental place possible to deal with everything that's going to come down the pike. Because if it starts this ugly, it's just going to get worse. Chris, let me know how you're doing next week, okay? 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glink, Rebuilding America, one house at a time on News Talk WSB.
Expert money advice you can depend on anytime at ClarkHoward.com and midday every Sunday with Elise Glink on 95.5 FM and AM 750. News Talk WSB.
25 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show. Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours. Our number 404-872-0750, 1-800 WSB Talk at Glink, at GLINK. Homer joins me on the line from Ackworth. Hi, Homer.
Yeah, so I was wanted to make two comments. One of them was on the billions of dollars that you said that the insurance companies made. You made it sound like that's a bad thing for people to make profit.
No, I think it's a good thing,
listen to your comment. If you look at an insurance company's return on investment, it's not the terrible thing that you make it sound like. That's number one. Number two, the talking point that everybody that's losing their insurance, it's junk insurance. I've got very good insurance, and I'm losing mine. Anyway, give me a comment on those. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I'd be happy to. According to Forbes, which is hardly the bastion of democracy in terms of being for the Democratic Party, it's quite the Republican mouthpiece. So far in 2013, the value of the Standard & Poor's health insurance index has gained 43%. That's more than double the gains in the stock market. Shares of Cigna are up 63%. WellPoint is up 47%. United Healthcare is up 28%. And if you go back, you will see that as early as 2010, all of the insurance companies were raising their premiums and have talked about how Obamacare would be great for them. It's absolutely true. If you look at WellPoint, which is owner of a huge number of health insurers, right? It's one of the nation's largest health insurers. This week, it raised the earnings guidance for the third time this year. WellPoint said its improved outlook is due in part to gains directly from the Affordable Care Act. So the idea that somehow insurance companies don't like this, they do like it. And I'm all in favor of insurance companies making money because I believe in the free market. This is not a handout. All it is, and honestly, the insurance companies helped write Obamacare. If they didn't like Obamacare, they would have all fled Massachusetts years ago when this went into play. So I don't think it's a bad thing. It's a good thing. And I think insurance company profits are fine. But the idea that somehow by not getting a deal or not trying to save money, I'm being more of an American is crazy. And that is my point. My point is that it would be like saying, oh, just go pay full freight for an airplane ticket instead of going to Expedia and checking out prices everywhere. That's all I'm doing, is checking out prices and choosing a plan that's best for me. And as for you, Homer, losing your health insurance plan, I'm sorry. You're one of like 2% of people in this country that that's happening to. And I wish it weren't the case. I wish the president hadn't lied about it. Clearly he did. Or if he didn't lie about it, he didn't know what he was saying. But I think there are a lot of people who are going to find that this is a good thing if they just give it a try. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I'm Elise Blank, rebuilding America one house at a time on News Talk WSB.
Find your expert advice anytime at thinkblink.com and find Elise Blank live midday every Sunday on 95.5 FM and AM 750, News Talk WSB.
6 minutes past the hour on the Elise Blink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours on News Talk WSB. The number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, online all the time at thinklink.com. Follow me on Twitter at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. All right, so we've been talking about health insurance, and I read a letter at the start of this hour from one of our listeners who thinks that for me, buying through the Affordable Care Act, which is the law in this country now, is akin to me going to a food pantry and taking groceries off the shelves, which is inconceivable and incomprehensible to me. Jerry joins me on the line now from Douglasville. Hi, Jerry.
Elise.
Yes.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
But I heard your comments, and I just had to call, even though I was busy working on my car. But Elise, the insurance companies love the Affordable Care Act.
Yes, they do.
Number one, they can cancel my policy. And then they can turn around and tell me what kind of policy I have to take.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can triple my premium. There ain't a thing I can do about it, because if I don't get insurance, I got to pay a fine.
Your fine is minute compared to everything else.
So I'm going
to
pay the fine.
Minute.
$95.
Mm-hmm.
And so the insurance companies love it. Of course, their doggone stock is going out of sight. It's been going out of sight because they see a big, huge pool of people that they're going to get rich off of.
Jerry, is your insurance being canceled?
Yes.
And what do you pay for your insurance?
$292.
$292 a month?
I got a $1,000 deductible.
Okay. And what is it?
My wife and two kids.
Great. And what does it cover?
It's going to pay a lot. It's going to cost a lot more.
What does it cover? Your policy now.
It's a good policy. I've used it before. It takes the doctor's bill. I pay $20 to see the doctor.
You have a copay. Is it an HMO?
It is.
Okay. There are HMOs that are incredibly inexpensive on the policy for
it's
the ACA.
Not no more because it's been canceled. I don't have it no more.
There are replacement policies. Have you looked?
Thank you. And they can tell me what I got to call. My new deductible is $6,900. My new premium is $699. Now tell me who's making the money.
No, I think insurance companies are going to make the money.
And
as
why
I said
do they
earlier.
Get the right to tell me what I can do and cannot do?
Because that's what they do. That is what insurance companies do.
They could do it before it became a law.
No, they could do it before.
No, they didn't.
Jerry, there are, you are, maybe...
I could shop around now. I'll bet this. I wish I could bought the insurance that I could go online and get from out of the state of Georgia. But you couldn't do that then. You had to get insurance companies approved by the state of Georgia. But still, I have a good policy. It's taken care of two babies that have been born.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, I've got a policy that costs me four times as much.
It would be great. It would be great if you shopped. It would be great, Jerry. It'd be great if you shopped it around, because if you shopped it around, I think you would find a more affordable thing to buy. In addition, you may even find that you're eligible for a subsidy that wipes away a lot of that. I don't know. Guess what? I make too much money. I don't get a subsidy. All I know is that I never paid anywhere close to what you were paying for insurance for my family. I'm paying like $3,000 a month. It's nowhere close to what you're paying. And it covered virtually nothing. So some people, I guess, are going to be winners and some are losers. It's a little like everybody who lives on a coastline right now who's looking at flood insurance that might be 10 times the cost of what it is. Some people are going to be losers, I guess, in this plan. I wish it were not the case, but I don't know of anything in business where everybody's a winner. All I know is that there, for a lot of people out there, there will be a lot of winners, and there will be a lot of people who get to benefit from this, people who thought they had good insurance but didn't. But some people, I guess, are going to be losers. I'm sorry it has to be you. I really am. I wish there was a way for all of us to win. 404-872-0750. John joins me on the line from Cartersville. Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm listening to you and Jerry and your comments before, and... you know, based on your own foundation of the way you laid out why you thought that this was going to be a good thing later on that we'll find out. I mean, the first thing is, you know, based on what the president claimed that was going to happen and all, based on the comments or the promises that he made of the way that Obamacare was going to be, and the fact that just about all that is untrue, it's really hard to believe that all the good things that we think might could happen, or that he claims or they claim are going to happen, you know, is going to going to happen.
Let me just jump in and say, and I'm going to give you a chance to finish your thought. I detest that this president looks like he's lied about this, because it was insane and stupid, frankly. And you shouldn't lie about what the truth is. Ever.
Well, that was a political thing. I mean, he was up for election, and he tells, and that's, of course, politics is like that. I'm not just picking him out, and you know, per se.
Every president has lied. Every president has lied. We agree.
And now the thing about that is you know that his whole track record. This is his biggest achievement of his of both elections, and yet it's so flawed and so many people are affected negatively for the few that might could gain from it. It's a great idea. It's a great concept. Although we had things in place where that a lot of people could get, you know, go to hospitals, even if they didn't have coverage, they still were going to be taken care of. So,
John. Well, we pay for all of those people. And I don't know about you, but I'm fed up with that.
Well, we're still paying, and this is going to make us, I think, and your, what you laid out a while ago about the stock and the insurance companies and how they're, you know, that's all great for the people who own stock and insurance companies who are the owners, you know, the people making the money, but that doesn't say a lot for the people that are forced to take something or buy something where they don't have a choice. See, that's not America. That's not the foundation of what America was based on. And the fact that we can be told what we have to do or we'll be fined if we don't do and follow that is not, you know, a democratic way. It's not a way that we're, this country was based on that we expect. Your comments about this, that some people are going to be benefit, some people are going to be hurt about the coastline situation and everything. Well, those people have a choice. They didn't have to buy property on the coastline. You hear again, you know, against your argument that
if you don't want to live on a coastline and you want to live somewhere where it's a lot safer up on a hill away from, you know, where storms come in pretty regular, you may not have that problem. You don't have to face the problem of flood.
So, John, that doesn't make any sense, because what's happened over 30 years, people have lived on the coasts of this country for 200 years. People have lived in those houses 20, 30, 40 years. And what's happened is weather is changing, and the floodplain maps, and this affects many people in Atlanta as well. You're not even near a coastline. But if you look at the flood maps, and I talked about this last week and the week before on this show, the flood maps have all been redrawn across this country, and people who thought they were in high ground and are not now in high ground and have found themselves flooded year in and year out, they're not on the coast. And that's everybody. Everybody is affected by that. And so you look at how people are paying for different kinds of insurance, and the truth is we all pay for everything in different ways. The flood insurance that people now can't even afford to buy or won't be able to when that actually goes into place, the cry will go up across the country, not just for the 600,000 or 800,000 people who are living right on a coastline. We all pay for health insurance in odd and different ways, and the people who pay more and end up covering people who walk into hospitals because they have nothing, that's what you should be getting angry about. You shouldn't be saying, oh, well, they're going to get covered anyway. They get covered because people, like everybody else, through our own health insurance, whether it's employer-provided, government-provided, individually-provided, that insurance coverage has to pay for everybody who doesn't have insurance, who walks into a hospital, and then for $1,000 gets their throat looked at, a couple of aspirin for $80 a piece, and sent on their way. And that kind of coverage doesn't work anymore. And that's what this was trying to fix. I am not the big apologist for Obamacare. In fact, if you look at my appearances on CNN and CNBC and Fox News, you'll see 2, 3, 4 years ago when this was announced that I was there saying, I think we could see coverage costs skyrocket. And sure enough, that's what we had done. So I've definitely been on the side that everybody else has. But on the other hand, I've also now gone online and taken a look and seen across this country there are a whole lot of people who will benefit. And the people who at the moment look like maybe they're not going to, we have to see how it's all going to play out. I don't think anybody even knows yet, because the darn site doesn't even work. The darn site just doesn't work. And when the technology doesn't work, and all you can do is see bits and pieces, all you can do is try and frame it in the mindset of reasonable people have to take a step back and allow something to play out a little bit further. And that is all I am saying, is that I think that a lot of people, if they give it a chance to go on and shop around, will be pleasantly surprised. There will also be people who will be unpleasantly surprised. Small business owners who have maybe 10 or 15 employees who have been covering coverage, they probably won't like what they're going to see, because I think small business owners are going to get hit. There are only 7 million small business owners in this country with less than 50 employees who are covering them under health insurance. 42% of them cover it. So we're talking about 3 million small business owners. Now, given that 95% of American business happens with small business owners, this is not a large number, but it sure sounds large. And if you are one of those people, and I am one of those people, you may see coverage go and prices go in a place that is not palatable. But your option will be to not cover insurance for people. You can just give them a flat amount of money and send them to the individual exchanges. And then your people will get covered the level and the way that they want to get covered. And that's all I'm saying, is that we have to give this a chance to see how it's all going to play out. But I don't believe for a minute that this is the end of this country. Just like in 2007 and 2008, when we talked about the coming housing crisis and people thought this was the end of the country, I didn't think it was the end of the country then. And I said then, and I say now, that if you don't stand and believe that this country is any bigger than one financial sector, whether it's health insurance or housing or industry or anything else, then you don't believe in the future of America. And I believe in the future of America. I call this show Rebuilding America, One House at a Time, because I believe we are greater than the sum of any one thing. Health insurance, politics, housing, whatever it is. This country is greater than that. And we, as the people who live and breathe and make this country run, we are greater than any one thing. And that's how I see it. And that's how you should see it. 404-872-0750. John, thank you for your call. 49 minutes past the hour on News Talk WSB. It's 54 minutes past the hour on the Elise Link Show. Rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours on News Talk WSB. 404-872-0750. A lively, shall we say, hour on health insurance. Holly joins me on the line. Hi, Holly.
Hi. You have pushed so many buttons.
I know. Sometimes I have to do that.
The medical situation for years, and I don't think Obamacare is the answer, but, oh, my God, what a great step to save some people who I have known who were falling through the cracks horribly. And as an employer, I couldn't afford the insurance that basically a former employee of mine's wife is dying because they couldn't afford the medical insurance for her. She was a diabetic. And the health care system was a disaster in terms of servicing her. And now we're all going to pay a small fortune to help raise her three small children. So this is false economy if I've ever seen it. But to me, the analogy is this. If I want to go and get an antibiotic, and maybe that's a bad example because there's issues about that. Say I want a skin cream or some skin tags removed from my neck. I don't want to have to go to an antibiotic.